the announcements this morning. To start off with, as you know, the pastor's not here today, so I'll be filling in for him. So if anybody here is visiting, I'm sorry, you're going to miss out on his little antics, but he will be doing the sermon through video. And from what I understand, it's going to be a pretty good one. So in the event of a pastoral care emergency today or tomorrow, please reach out to Dennis Long, and he will put you in touch with a local pastor. Tuesday, prayer shawl outreach at 3:15. It's over at Mill Creek. Is that a correct?
Yes.
Okay. It's for an hour till 4:15. They get with some of the ladies over there, and they crochet for an hour, and it's a good time. Wednesday, Bible study at St. Paul's in North Robinson, starting at 2 p.m. Last I knew, they were working in the book of Acts. Later this month, pancake breakfast. It will be Saturday, November 23rd at 9 a.m. till 10:30. We will have a joint Thanksgiving Eve worship service on Wednesday, November 27th at 7 p.m. at St. Paul Lutheran in North Robinson. The loose offering that is collected will go to the Lutheran Disaster Response. Checks and envelopes will go back to individual congregations. The Friendsgiving dinner is on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, on the 29th at 4 o'clock, and it goes till 6. We need helpers to decorate the Christmas tree December 1st. There will be pizza afterwards, so if you want pizza, you have to decorate. And believe me, it is a fun time. It sounds tedious, but it can be fun, especially if we get Brian up on the ladder. We'll move the ladder on him. We have an Adopt-A-Family tree over in this corner out in the gathering area. There's tags on the tree. Sign the clipboard under the tree if you want to help provide gifts for that family. It's been a success past years, and we don't expect anything less this year because everybody here is so giving and helpful, so we expect another good turnout again this year. The noisy offerings for this month continues on with the noisy offering, and it is with the Lutheran Disaster Response, the hurricane relief. So anybody else have any announcements that I might have missed? Nope. Well, with that, if you stand if you're able. Though wars may rage and rumors of wars abound, do not be alarmed.
For the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Even as nation rises against nation and kingdom against kingdom, do not fear and do not be led astray.
This must take place, but the end is still to come.
The good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are bound into sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the turmoils of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Daniel, the 12th chapter. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 16 responsively with me. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight.
Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen between you in pleasant places. I have a good heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit.
You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all times a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then he has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For a single offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will all this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines, but this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
It's a lot better. I'm not really sure why that was there where my lectern is supposed to be, but now that that's out of the way, I guess we can get started. Okay, I gotta ask, because has something like that ever happened to you? You build a tower out of, totes or cardboard boxes or you know, if you're a kid, you build one out of Legos or blocks. My son Andrew, he does this using aluminum cans as he's delaying the chore of sorting the recycling. And some jerk, usually an older brother or, you know, in the case of Andrew, sometimes a dad, casts your tower down to the ground. Have you seen this happen to a little kid? I have. I mean, other than Andrew, obviously. And what happens when this happens to a kid? They usually get really mad. Sometimes they cry. And it's understandable why this would happen, isn't it? This magnificent structure, or once magnificent structure, whether it's Legos or blocks or cans or plastic tubs and cardboard boxes, it's our creation. And to see it destroyed and thrown down to the ground like that, it hurts, right? So imagine the surprise, the disbelief, the terror, the sadness of the disciples when Jesus says, "You see these great stones? They will all be thrown down. This place, the temple, it will be destroyed." I don't think it's possible to overstate the significance of what Jesus is saying here, of this prophecy, if you will, to the Jewish people of the age and what this means, to the disciples who themselves are Jews. Within this temple that Jesus is talking about being thrown to the ground resides the Holy of Holies, the innermost chamber of the sanctuary of the temple in Jerusalem. It is the place that could only be entered once a year, on the Day of Atonement by the high priest. It's the place reserved for God's presence, the place where God would show up here on this earth. And not only that, they've kind of been through this before. I mean, not exactly them, as in Jesus' disciples, but their ancestors. The Babylonians had destroyed the first temple, Solomon's temple, about 650 years before this. And the Jewish people were then taken from their land, the promised land, the land promised to them by God, and exiled. I mean, you've heard a kid cry when their tower gets knocked down, right? You probably know what it feels like to have your tower knocked down. So can you imagine the horror, the weeping, the wailing, the sounds when this temple was destroyed? The feeling of this temple destruction, to have the place where the presence of God came to rest in the Holy of Holies, to have that taken from you, to be demolished? I imagine just a little bit, it would be like you sitting here in the sanctuary watching the sermon from your pastor being projected up on a wall, and then all of a sudden, bam! Ah! The wrecking ball just smashing through that wall. You know, if this was a great sermon illustration, I would have lined up a wrecking ball to smash up the wall, but probably would have got fired for that. But there's a really big difference. The coming of Jesus, it changed everything, right? So while we do believe that at one time God's presence was in the temple in Jerusalem, we no longer believe God solely resides in places like this, in sanctuaries like this, do we? And if we do, I ask you to please refer back to Pastor Sean ripping open a bag of Cheerios as a reminder that God is loose and active in the world. But I digress. But still, if a wrecking ball smashed through our wall, even if we don't believe that God specifically resides in this place, you don't believe that, right? It would be very traumatic. I mean, having your temple destroyed once and then being exiled is beyond traumatic. Life-altering is an understatement. So to have Jesus sit there and just casually remark, yeah, that thing over there, it's going down again. That has to be terrifying to the disciples who we would refer to as these Second Temple Jews. Second Temple because the first one was destroyed. And they were eventually allowed to return from exile and build a new temple, the Second Temple. I guess that was 4:2. The Second Temple. And it is this temple that Jesus is saying will be toppled. It's like the kid that rebuilds their block tower only to have some jerk brother or dad throw something at it and throw it to the ground again. So if you're one of the disciples, how can you not be shocked and afraid of these words of Jesus? I mean, the last time the temple was thrown down, a bunch of people had to be killed. It's not like they just came in and were like, here you go, have our temple. There was a war and siege and death and finally exile. Was that supposed to happen this time, huh, Jesus? So the disciples were like, all right, well, can you at least give us a little bit of a timeline so that we can have our bunkers stocked and ready? And Jesus says simply, beware the one who comes in my name and says, I am he, that they don't lead you astray. Okay, Jesus, that really doesn't answer my question. Oh, but it's okay, he continues. You'll hear about wars and rumors of wars, but don't be worried about those. That'll happen. It must happen, actually. In the end, it isn't here yet. And then comes this really consoling part. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famines. But this is just the beginning. Jesus, I'm feeling worse. This is not helpful. I mean, this is some truly terrifying stuff, isn't it? We know this. We feel this here in our age today, 2,000 years after this, there are a lot of people right now, a lot of people in this nation and around this world who are very, very afraid. And add to that, there are some folks picking up scripture and trying to interpret it for us, telling us that they can tell us the signs of this age that I think Jesus was warning us about when he says, beware that they don't lead you astray. And they're either doing this because they too are afraid and need some amount of control or certainty, or they're grifters who want money. Maybe a little bit of both. I do want to be very clear about this. This is important. If I ever start telling you when Jesus is going to return, find some duct tape, place it over my mouth instantly, call the bishop, and don't ever let me walk back through that door. Seriously. I get why we want to know. I get why the disciples want to know. Heck, I want to know. We are afraid, and we want to prepare for what is to come. I want to have my bunker stocked. But even when we hear about and see the wars and the violence, the natural disasters, nations upon nations upon nations rising against other nations, this is just the beginning of the birth pangs, Jesus said. When the actual world is crumbling around you, when your world is crumbling around you, when it feels like you just stacked your tower back up and some jerk comes and kicks it over, it is okay to be angry and afraid and confused. This life is hard enough already without people kicking our towers over. It is confusing. And this world is a hot mess. This country, while we hope and pray and work toward unity in this post-election time, is still divided. And people are very, very afraid. Outside of that, our own faith tradition, Lutheranism, it's not doing so hot either. Churches are closing, and some of the buildings, at least, will literally be toppled, will be bulldozed, and will be destroyed. And when we hear about it, see it, when we see closed church buildings every day in this city of Galion, like our church, our sister church down the street that is closed, we can't help but wonder, are we next? And like Peter and James and John and Andrew, you might come to me privately and say, okay, seriously, Pastor Sean, tell us. You don't need to tell everyone else. Just us is fine. How do we fix this? How do we make this better? How do we bring more people to this place? Because I don't want to be afraid anymore. And I get it. I really do. I have a 12 and an 11 and an 8-year-old. And sometimes I wonder, will there be a Lutheran church for them to worship in 50 years? And honestly, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that while we can rest, that we can rest for just a bit in this place of fear. We can rest there just for a little bit. But we cannot stay there. Verse 10, which isn't part of the lection, which I think really should have been, tells us what we must do. Jesus says this, and the good news must first be proclaimed to all the nations. He's saying that all of these things, these wars and these famines and these whatevers, before Jesus returns, before I return, the good news must be proclaimed to all nations. So after giving all the dire warnings, Jesus follows with, oh yeah, so now go out and proclaim the good news to all nations. What good news, Jesus? This was terrifying. But why? Because when the world is crumbling, when nations are warring, when earthquakes and hurricanes are doing the worst, this is when the world needs to hear the good news. Because at the end of the day, when I worry, and I worry a lot, when I am afraid, and I am afraid a lot, when I am sitting beside someone who knows they will not be alive in a month, their hope, my hope, is that this broken world of warring nations and crumbling buildings, isn't it? Their hope, my hope, is in Jesus Christ crucified in a temple that has been thrown down and destroyed. Their hope and my hope is in a God who didn't stay dead, and a holy of holies that no longer exists in one place, but in here, in this place, in a place with candles and pressed linens and paraments and flowers on the high altar. And out there, beyond those windows, out there, past the narthex and out into the world, into that hot mess of a world out there. That is where God exists. Here is where God exists. God exists everywhere. You saw what happened when I ripped open that bag of Cheerios. The good news, my dear siblings in Christ, is that Jesus too, he was a Jew. And he was not afraid. He was not afraid of that temple's destruction. And it's not new, because he knew when he was coming back, because he didn't. It's because he knew that when the temple was destroyed, he would rise from the grave. That's right. Jesus too was that temple. And once he rose from the grave, there was nothing, not a single thing, that could hold him back, because at that point, he would be loose in the world. And guess what? We are at that point. We are at that moment. Jesus rose from the dead, and he is loose in the world. Jesus knew that stones would be toppled, but God then would be everywhere. These stones are no longer part of a temple, but they are everywhere and out in this world. This is a new and a present age. This is the new and present age, and it is where we live now. And it is in this here and now that we wait for Christ to return. When? Jesus didn't say. Because Jesus didn't know, only the Father knows. But for now, we must proclaim this good news to all the nations. We too are disciples. And this is what we've been called to do. So go! What are you waiting for? Leave right now! Okay, wait for the end of the service. But then, go! Go and proclaim our hope. Jesus Christ was destroyed, he was toppled, he was thrown down. But he didn't stay that way. And when he was resurrected, that set our God loose on this world. Our God is no longer a pile of stones that forms a holy of holies. Our God is just a bunch of individual little stones, big ones, small ones, pebbles, whatever. And our God is loose. Our God is loose in this world. Our God is everywhere. And this, I can tell you, is most certainly good news. And it is for this good news that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
To join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Scott. Denise. Hi.
Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation.
O God, in the washing of water, you set us free from the power of sin and death. Unite all the baptized in the covenant you have made with us as we strive for your justice and peace in all the earth. Use us, the people of First Lutheran, and our ministries to open the doors of opportunity and hope in the community of Galleon, particularly those struggling with food insecurity, unemployment, or underemployment. Guide our hands and hearts to be agents of your justice, that we may have what they need to live full and abundant lives. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With the selfless power, you protect all who take refuge in you. As nations rise against nations, defend all who are displaced or affected by war or violence. Comfort and protect those in our community who have loved ones serving in areas of conflict around the world. Empower all people and nations to pursue peace, especially in Ukraine and Russia and in the Middle East, and protect infants and children, refugees, and civilians in these and all war-torn lands. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. In your presence, you give fullness of joy. Care for all whom joy feels distant. Be present with persons experiencing depression, anxiety, addiction, or any mental illness. Bring them healing and wholeness, especially the family and friends of Robin, for Marty, Jean, Joe, Haley, Troy and his family, Paige, Phil, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Bill, Linda, and then especially this morning for these special requests we have for you, Peggy, for Scott, for Denise, for Connie, for Carol, and for those who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Through the years, you have gathered and blessed the faith community of First Lutheran for worship, fellowship, formation, and service. May these times of gathering empower us to go forth, bearing witness to your love in Galleon. Make us a beacon of hope that shines brightly and open our doors wide to become new faces in young families long to be welcomed and loved exactly as they are. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. With thanksgiving, we remember all the saints and angels who delight in your everlasting presence. We give thanks for the lives and examples of all those in the First Lutheran community who have gone before us, especially those we lift aloud or in the silence of our hearts. As their lives inspire ours, provoke us always to love, holding fast the confession of our hope in you. Merciful God,
we offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love and all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please, yes. Please share a sign of peace. Time we continue worship with our gifts and offerings.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our portion and our cup, you offered yourself in love for the world. And in this meal, you nourish us with your life. Fill us with your abundance, that we may feed the hungry and welcome the stranger, trusting in your name. Amen.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love, for your word of life, O God.
Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. For your word of life, O God.
Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
go from this place not in fear of unknown trials to come,
but with hearts burning with the hope of Christ's promised return.
Go, therefore, and share this good news of your hope.